Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Such an honor and privilege to be speaking to the Westies again. I love the Westies. Let's go to West, the Wild Wild West. I love you guys. I love this house. And I hope you guys are doing well. I hope you guys are staying dry and staying warm. Winter is truly upon us. Winter is truly upon us. We are actually halfway through the year. It's June now, and it's in the middle of June, on the 15th. It's the 15th, yeah? Yeah, it's the 15th. Okay, just wanted to make sure. We're halfway through the year, okay? And how's everybody going with their New Year's resolution? That's what I thought. I told Vanya at the start of the year, babe, this is it. No more. I'm going to lose 15 kilos by the end of this year. 15 kilos, I said to myself. I've got 20 to go. I gained 5 kilos during this winter month. Hey, are you guys ready for the word? I'm ready for the word. And this word here, this scripture I want to share with you, it's very foundational for us as a church. I think it's one of the main reasons why the church exists today. This scripture is it's a calling. It's a mandate. It's an assignment from Jesus himself. And I'm talking about the Great Commission. And before I read to you the main scripture, I want to give you a bit of context just so we know how we got there. Is that cool? Yeah. Just a little bit. And so in this story, Jesus has just been resurrected. Somebody say amen. Amen. Come on, somebody. Jesus has just been resurrected. I mean, we serve and worship a living God, the one true God. Everything else in this world is an idol. Everything else in this world is an idol. I love what Psalm 115 says. It says this, their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. How funny is that? People who don't know God worship things that they create. But on sons and daughters of the Most High, we worship the one who created us. Goes on to say that they have mouths but do not speak. Huh. Eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear. They have noses but do not smell. You know what that tells me? That tells me that's a dead God. That's a lifeless idol. It's a dead God with a lower G. And church, I just want to encourage us that we should celebrate and be confident about the fact that our God is a living God. Amen? Amen. So Jesus here has just been resurrected, just as he prophesied, just as he said. Let me tell you something. When God gives you a word, when God says a word, it will come into fruition. When God gives you a promise, it will be fulfilled. Come on, somebody. Let me tell you, his promises, his words will not return to him void. God is not only a promise keeper, but I want to remind us that God is also a promise. God is not also a promise maker, but I want to remind us that God is also a promise keeper. Isaiah 55 tells us this, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return, but water the earth and making it bring forth sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing in which I sent it. Let me encourage you in this. If God says it, that settles it. It's no debate. There's no debate. If it's a God thing, it's a sure thing. Yeah. Amen? And so in this story, Jesus has been resurrected. He's no longer in the tomb. The Lord has risen. Amen? And he meets with some of his disciples to show them that he is risen. He is alive. To show them that he is who he claims to be. Jesus is the Messiah. And he tells them to tell the others to meet him at Galilee, because what Jesus is about to say to his disciples, to his followers, is very, very important. Not only to his followers then, but for his disciples now. Enter the Great Commission. If you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I'll be reading from verse 16. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. And it says this from verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee. They went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. That's good to know. How many of us know that if we're going to be a disciple of Christ, if we're going to be a follower of Christ, we must be obedient to the word of God. If Jesus tells you to stay, you stay. If Jesus tells you to go, you go. If Jesus tells you to go to Galilee, you go to Galilee. And that's exactly where the disciples went, because Jesus had instructed them. Verse 17, and when they saw him, they worshipped him. Wow. How many of us know that is the proper response when in the presence of Jesus? But some doubted. Verse 18, and Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I want to speak to today, church, from the title of The Mandate of Christ. The Mandate of Christ. Turn to the person on your left and say, we have a mandate to fill. Come on, say it loud. Say it with conviction. We have a mandate to fill. Turn to the other side and says, we have a mission to do. We have a mission to do. We have a mission to do. I want to start by saying that the Great Commission is the great mission. It is our mission as disciples of Christ. It is our mission as followers of Christ. As a church, it's our mission to advance the kingdom of God. We are a church on mission, not a church with a mission team. Hello. We are a church on mission, not a church with a mission team. This means that as disciples, we are charged to make more disciples. And none of us are exempt, as followers of Christ, are exempt from the Great Commission. You see, the Great Commission is a command from Jesus himself. There is only two responses to this command. We either obey or we disobey. It's only two responses. And so if we as a church are not preaching the gospel or making disciples, baptizing them, teaching them, then we as a church are living in disobedience to the great commandment. As sons and daughters of the Most High, it is our responsibility to be about the Father's business. It is our calling to take ground, to take territory from the enemy and expand the kingdom of God and glorify his name. And I want to give us a few pointers just to encourage us and stir our faith so that we can carry out the mandate that God has given us. Is that cool? So we can carry out the call that God has called us to do. But before we get there, I really think it's important to know. I really believe that before we step into the Great Commission, we need to learn how to walk in the Great Commandment. The Great Commission must be accompanied by the Great Commandment. Because here's the deal, church. We can't advance the kingdom of God if we don't love God and if we don't love people. It just doesn't make sense. Love must be the catalyst of what we do for the kingdom of God. Paul says this in Corinthians, you can speak in tongues all you want. Shatterbush. You can speak tongues and all you want. You can prophesy all you want. You can have the biggest faith in this room, so big that you can move mountains. You can give your body as a sacrifice and get it burned. But if there is no love, Paul says, then you are nothing and you gain nothing. Love must be the catalyst. It was because of love that God the Father sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins so that we may be reconciled back to the Father. And so love must be the catalyst of what we do for God. Amen? Okay, so what do we need to know about the Great Commission? Number one, we need to know that we have been given the authority to advance. We have been given the authority to advance. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, says Jesus. And with this authority, Jesus is sending us to go and advance the kingdom of God with His authority. In other words, when we go and advance the kingdom of God, we're not doing it in our own strength. We're not doing it in our own skills, in our own talents, in our own gifts. We're not doing it because maybe we have a big influence in our sphere of influence. No, we're doing this in the authority of Jesus. We are carrying His authority to advance the kingdom of God. Is that cool? Luke 10 tells us that Jesus gave the disciples, the followers, the authority, not only to tread on snakes and scorpions, but to heal the sick and proclaim the gospel. One of the reasons we say in Jesus' name when we pray is because we say in His authority. I don't pray over you and say in Levi's name. I don't have the authority, but Jesus does. That's why we say in Jesus' name, one of the reasons. Does that make sense? Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 to 8 says this, "And proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, and cast out demons." In other words, Jesus did not only give us the authority to preach the gospel and proclaim the kingdom of God, but He also gave us the power and the authority to demonstrate kingdom. Yeah. Signs and wonders should accompany us as we do this. I want to encourage us as a disciple, as a follower of Christ, you have been commissioned with power. You have been commissioned with power. You have been given the authority to advance. And I want to remind us that this authority can only come from a place of relationship. It can only come from a place of intimacy and obedience. This kind of authority only operates under covering. Let's not go over there and start going rogue. Need covering, need spiritual covering. This authority does not work in isolation, but under spiritual alignment and accountability. I'm reminded about the sons of Sceva. Sceva was this high priest, and he had seven sons. They were itinerant exorcists, all seven of them. And they've been hearing about the extraordinary miracles that God was doing through the hands of Paul. Paul was so anointed with power from the Lord that when the robe or apron or the handkerchief would touch Paul's skin and it would be given to another person, that person would get healed. Wow. Some got healed and some even got delivered from the evil spirit. Says this, Acts 19, verse 12. "So even the handkerchief or aprons that had touched his skins were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them." Wow. And so, you know, upon hearing this in the town, the sons of Sceva decided to do the same thing. So they tried it to an evil spirit. And in verse 15, the evil spirit responds with this, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you?" Who are you? Huh. I just want to encourage us, church, let's not operate in the name of Jesus when we don't have a relationship with Jesus. I love what Charles Craft said this. He's a Christian author, and he said this about the situation. The sons of Sceva, they used the right words. They used the right formula, even used the right name. But the power was not in the formula. It was not even in the words they used to claim in the authority of Jesus. The power is in relationship with Jesus. You see, this authority can only come from a place of relationship, which is why I said before, it's so important that the Great Commission must be accompanied by the Great Commandment. Okay? To not neglect the Great Commandment, to love God and to love people. Church, I want to encourage us again as disciples, not as fans, as followers, as devoted followers of Christ, you have been given the authority to advance. Amen? The second thing I want us to know about the Great Commission is that Jesus has given us an assignment to advance. He has given us a spiritual assignment to advance the kingdom of God. Church, I want to encourage us that the Great Commission goes with you wherever you go. You take it with you in your sphere of influence. I want to remind you that you don't have to be a full-time pastor. You don't have to be a full-time church worker, a full-time minister in order for you to fulfill your spiritual assignment. You can advance the kingdom of God. You can fulfill your assignments to advance the kingdom of God through your family and friends, through your business, through your schools, through your universities. You can carry out the assignment in your workplace to your workmate, to your basketball friend, to your golfing buddy. This assignment is for all. You don't need a pastor's title. You don't need a minister's title in order to carry out the spiritual assignment that God has given you. So what is this assignment? What is the assignment of the Great Commission? Well, Jesus, in his authority, has given us the assignment to, number one, preach the gospel and proclaim the kingdom of God. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says this, go into the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. How can we expect people to come and fill these empty seats if we don't go outside the four walls of the church and evangelize? Come on. We cannot advance the kingdom of God if we're not winning souls. Winning souls is essential in advancing the kingdom of God. And I want to remind us in 2 Timothy that we are to do the work of an evangelist. And if you don't know how to evangelize, go get equipped. Go see Jane. Jane, put your hands up. Go see Jane. She'll equip you. Go read some SJC pamphlet, booklet. That'll equip you. All right. Join the street team. That will give you your confidence. I just want to encourage us. Evangelism, it's not about personality, okay? It's not about how good you are at entertaining. It's not about being a good salesman. Hello. It's not about having the gift of the gab. It's about being led and obedient to the Holy Spirit. Okay? I remember a couple years ago, Vanya, she's been wanting this green Converse, Chuck Taylor's. And so we saw it in the store. We're like, oh, they still sell it. Mad. So we went. We went inside and you know, we're like, oh, what size, da-da-da-da. And then the Lord gave me a word of knowledge to the one who was serving us. I'm like, Lord, I don't really want to do that right now. I just want to shop. And I'm like, you know, Vanya's like sitting down. She's trying on the shoes, and I'm just pacing like up and down the store. I've probably done 3 laps already. I'm like, I don't want to do this. What am I going to say to her? I just say what I told you. Anyways, we're going to pay, and I didn't want to do it. We were going to pay, and I was going to just pay and then walk out of there, but I just felt so convicted. You know when you're just so convicted, like you can't disobey? The conviction is just way too strong, right? That's how I felt. And so I shared with her what God has shared with me. And she's like, whoa, how did you know? And then tears started coming out. And then I ended up praying with her. And I thought that was it. And God says, now tell her about me. And so I did. I told her about that, you know, told her that Jesus loves her and all these things. I gave her the SJC treatment, you know. God love, God gave, you believe, you receive. If you know it, you know it. And then towards the end, I asked her, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And she says, yes. And so we prayed a salvation prayer, and that was it. And I told her, you know you're a Christian now. She's like, yeah, I know. It feels good. We actually took a selfie afterwards. But it's just about being led and being obedient to the Holy Spirit. It's not about being an extrovert. It's not about knowing what to say. It's just about being led and obedient to the Holy Spirit. Evangelism is Spirit-led. Number two, He has commanded us to make disciples. Matthew 28:19 says this, "Go and therefore make disciples of all nations." What does it look like? We help people learn about Jesus, to believe in Jesus, to have faith in Jesus, to obey the words of Jesus, to do life with people. Hello. Let's do life with people. Encourage them, correct them, guide them, rebuke them, and then encourage them again. You know? Can I ask you a question? Who are you discipling? Hello. Who are you doing life with? Again, I just want to remind you, you know, even when it comes to discipling and leading someone, you don't need to have a doctorate in theology. Okay, you don't need to know every answer in the book, in the world, in order to disciple someone. You don't need to have it all together. You don't need to have it all figured out in order to disciple someone. You know, for me, discipleship is simple. It's just doing life with somebody. The way Jesus did life with His followers. It's simply saying, hey, I'm following Jesus. You want to come on a journey with me? That's all it is. You just got to be one step ahead of Him. That's how I see it. It's not about you being, it's not about you, again, it's not about you having a degree in theology. It's about you becoming more like Christ and you inviting people on that journey. Is that cool? Paul in 1 Corinthians puts it this way, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Number three, as part of their discipleship journey, we are called to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And number four, we are to teach them to obey and observe the commands of God that we have been given to assignment to advance His kingdom. How's everybody going so far? Third point we need to understand is that Jesus has given us the arena to advance His kingdom. Matthew 28 verse 19 says this, "Go therefore make disciples of all nations." Mark chapter 16, 15 tells us, "Go into the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." You see, Jesus had a global vision. He had a global vision. 1 Timothy chapter 2 tells us, God desires all people to be saved. And then in Revelation, we see Revelation chapter 7, we see that there was a great multitude of every nation from all tribes and all tongues and all peoples and all languages worshiping the Lord. You see, God loves the world. That's you and I. John 3:16 again says this, "For God so loved the world that He sent His Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." The Great Commission was a global vision. Jesus had in mind a global takeover. But in order to advance the kingdom of God globally, we need to start locally. We need to start locally. And we see this in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Jesus tells them that there will be witnesses first in Jerusalem and then in Judea, further out to Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. And church, I want to ask you, what's your local arena? Mine's my family. What's your Jerusalem? And as a follow-up question, what's your Judea? What's your Samaria? What's your ends of the earth? If I can get the band to come up. Whatever it may be, God has given you the authority in that arena. He's given you the authority in that arena. That is your metron. So what do we know? Number one, we need to understand that the Great Commission must be accompanied by the Great Commandment. Amen? Love must be the catalyst. Love must be the catalyst. Let's never forget that. We need to understand that the Great Commission is our great mission. As disciples, we are called to advance the kingdom of God. And so number one, we need to understand that God has given us the authority to advance. He has given us the assignment to advance. He has given us the arena to advance. And lastly, the fourth thing, He has given us the assistance to advance. We cannot do it without God's assistance. Matthew 28, verse 20 says this, "And behold, Jesus says, I am with you always to the end of the age." But how can Jesus be with us if He's not physically with us? How can Jesus be for us if He's not physically here with us? Well, the answer is through the presence of the Holy Spirit. For us to carry out the mission that God has given us, we need to be full of God if we're going to do God's work. Not full of ourselves. If we're full of ourselves, we're building our own kingdom. But if we're full of God, we're building His kingdom. We're glorifying His name. We need to be vessels of His Spirit. We need to be vessels of His presence. We cannot advance the kingdom of God without the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Jesus in Acts chapter 1 tells His disciples, "Don't depart from Jerusalem until you get baptized with the Holy Spirit." It is essential that you be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is vital in fulfilling the Great Commission. And so in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it tells us that the disciples will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And only then they are able to advance the kingdom of God. First starting with Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then to the ends of the earth. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit that we are able to work, that we are able to do the work of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is our helper and will empower us to advance the kingdom of God. John 14, verse 16 to 18 says this, "And I will ask of the Father and will give you another helper to be with you forever. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Jesus did not leave us as orphans. Jesus will not leave us as orphans. He had to go in order for the helper to come, for the Holy Spirit to come. And we see this in John chapter 16, verse 7. It says this, "It is to your advantage," Jesus says, "that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you." Why don't we stand? Encourage us, church, that advancing the kingdom of God requires a partnership with the Holy Spirit. Requires a partnership with the Holy Spirit. And so I want to ask you today, church, will you partner with God today in advancing His kingdom? Will you give a response to God and say, "Lord, I don't care how hard it may be. I don't care how high the mountain is, but Lord, send me." Will you give a response to God where you say, "Lord, I don't care if I will receive persecution. Lord, I may be rejected because of your name. Lord, I may be ridiculed because of your name, but Lord, send me. Send me." Will you give a response to God where you say, "Yes, Lord, I'll tell people about you, even if they look at me weird, even if they call me a Jesus freak"? Will you give a response to the Lord and say, "Yes, Lord, I will do life with this person. I will love on this person. I will encourage this person. I will teach this person. Even if it may be hard, I will do it, Lord. because you called me to it. Lord, let my yes reflect how much I love you. Let my yes reflect, oh God, how much I love you, Lord. So even if it's going to be hard, even if it feels like the world is going to be against me, Lord, I don't care. Yes, Lord, send me. Yes, Lord, I'll go. Yes, Lord, I'll do. Because my yes reflects on how much I love you, Lord. And so, church, I want to ask you, will you partner with the Holy Spirit today? Will you make a prophetic declaration and say, Lord, I'm saying yes to advancing your kingdom. I'm a soldier ready to fight the battles.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life. And I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.